الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. Just before I could come here, one student, perhaps in the third year or the fourth year, came and asked, what's the difference between ilm and information? Because according to the definition, both will bring you to the same end. In Arabic, normally they say, husulu surati shay'in. That's the approximate definition of ilm. That you get an idea of a certain thing. Right. I tell you, for example, that so-and-so had a son. So you have an idea, you have a picture of the information that was relayed. But then, information does the same thing. You were not informed, now you're informed. You didn't have the knowledge, now you are knowledgeable. So both are bringing you to the same end. And both are bringing you to the same end. What's the difference between ilm and information? So I explained to him that at the surface, both seem to be identical, bringing you to the same ends. But the intention will make the difference. And I explained to him, see, it's two people, just for your to make you understand, right? It's two people that have planted the same tree. He's planted, for example, an apple tree, and he's planted the same. But his intention is, I just want the wood, I don't want anything else. And his intention is the fruit. I ask you, are the intentions the same? The intentions are worlds apart, totally different directions. So the same with ilm. One is the person that is exploring higher and higher levels, and the intention is just to get more and more information. That is all. He just wants the structure. And the other is acquiring that information because he wants to gain the proximity of Allah Ta'ala. He wants to know Allah Ta'ala. He wants the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. So I ask you, are they both the same? He's going in one direction and he's going in a totally different direction. The one person, the first person, that ilm will not make a difference in his life. The levels of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala won't be increased. The majesty of Allah Ta'ala will not improve in his mind and heart. The overwhelming presence of Allah Ta'ala will not prevail over him. And this person here, the more he will uncover and discover new horizons, then the fear of Allah Ta'ala will overcome him. He'll understand better. He'll be conscientized. He will humble himself. You will see as he's progressing in ilm, to that extent that he is progressing will be his humility. To the extent that he is progressing in ilm will be his submission. To the extent that he is progressing in ilm will be his obedience. Everything will just change. So now, this person is going in one direction and the other person is going in the other direction. But that ilm that Allah Ta'ala recognizes, that is the criterion. Because he says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَىٰ. That the same thing is being explained by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, لَيْسَتِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَاتِ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمِ أَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْخَشِيَّةِ. That ilm is not on account of the abundance of information that you have. But after that information has been sought, then what is the level of your consciousness, your awareness, your submission, your humility, your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala? What is the extent? If you progressed in that regards, then that ilm is doing you something good. And if you haven't progressed in that respect, then that ilm of yours is questionable. Whether it's doing you good, whether it's going to bring you to the right end, or it's going to bring you to the wrong end. Same ilm, same information. You can use it for one reason, and that same ilm can be used for another reason. Bani Israel, they had ilm as well, right? Allah Pak speaks about them as ulul ilm, utul ilm, people of knowledge. But their knowledge wasn't applied correctly, and as a result, command was kunu qiradatan khasin. That ilm was used to their convenience, somehow to make things happen, to make things work, right? So they used that knowledge, but the knowledge was used for their own convenience. Where Allah Pak says that fishing is not permissible. So they understood that knowledge, that ilm, right? That knowledge told them that this is taboo, this is impermissible, this is haram. But now, that haram, somehow they need to legitimize it. So they've got that understanding. So that ilm has to come with understanding. So they apply that understanding and try to legitimize the whole thing. When they went in that direction of legitimizing, then this is what it brought to them. Here is also ilm, and there's ilm here as well. This person applies that ilm for his own convenience, for his own luxury, for his own worldly comfort. And this person used that ilm for something totally different. Can you see the worlds apart? How different? How diverse? So, it is what that ilm is going to produce, that is the thing of essence. That ilm that you've got, that knowledge, that information that you have, what is it going to be producing? How is it going to come out? How is it going to pan out? That's the thing of importance. That is the thing of essence. It's not just listening, but after listening, then to see now, alright, this ilm that I'm acquiring, what has it done for me? What has happened to me? Is there any change? Is it translating into some action, into some righteousness, to some virtue? So this is what is to be seen, not just to acquire. Jabir ibn Sulaym radiyallahu, he says that I came to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked him, had ilayya, give me some advice. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave several pieces of advice, but one advice was that don't be abusive, don't insult. The word in Arabic is sab, but sab doesn't only mean to swear. Some of you think that sab means just to swear. No, don't be abusive, don't insult, don't run down anybody, don't disgrace anybody. But that was just one information that he acquired directly from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now, how did it translate? So he says, from that point onwards, I never abused, I never insulted a man, nor a woman, nor a slave man, nor a slave woman, nor an animal, nor anything. I never swear after that. I was never abusive. I was never insulted after that. So now you see that ilm, and what that ilm has done to him. He's acquired it, and after he's acquired it, then it made him a different person, totally different person. There's a revolution in his life. So now that is the magnificence of ilm. That is the significance of ilm. When you acquire it, and after you've acquired it, what does it do to you? One person is making tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif. And he hears one person reciting the Quran Sharif. He recited, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. Your rosy is in the heavens. Obviously, when Allah Pak says the rosy is in the heavens, then what he means, that mainly it comes from the heaven. Because everything, every crop is dependent, every vegetation is dependent on water. And when you talk about heavens, you talk about things that are above you. So, because of its dependence on rain, therefore you say, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ. So when this birdman, this villager heard the verse, فِيْسَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, they said, well, Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon himself to provide, he is giving, so I'm not going to exert myself like I've been exerting myself, you know. So he's taken it upon himself, so what's the need for me exerting myself? Because that will mean, if I'm exerting myself, then that means I don't believe in the promise of Allah Ta'ala. He's saying that I have taken it upon myself, so why must I exert myself? The interesting thing to note is that in the entire Quran Sharif, the Quran doesn't speak about exerting yourself for material. Rather, the type of plan that the Quran Sharif suggests and the Quran Sharif shows is a moderate plan, in fact, little lower than moderate work, but with moderation, in fact, a little bit less than moderation. Ajmilu fi talab, that is the Quran and the Hadith, that's what it's showing. Right. And it's also saying you, whatever is decreed, you will receive it. It's not unavoidable, you must receive it. Whether you go for it, whether you strive, or you don't strive, you don't get it. أَنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقًا. Nobody can die until and unless that rosy is complete. Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rahmatullahi, should say that in these two matters you will see the hand of Allah Ta'ala more than your effort. One is the rosy and the second is the jewelry. One is your sustenance and number two is your life partner, right? The wife. So more than your effort, it is the taqdeer of Allah that you will see that pans out. It shows out. So this is how your rosy has been destined for you. This is how it has been decreed for you. I have seen that in my own eyes, that there were people that were in for marriage, you know, trying hard, went overseas, went to Cape Town, went to there, wherever, looking for a suitable spouse. And little realizing that the spouse was decreed for them in the next street. Yeah, they're living in this street here, and the one that was decreed for the person was just living across the road, next street. But where he went, this country, that country, Cape Town, here, idhar, udhar. But then, at the end he realized, this is what was decreed for me. So, the rosy and the jewelry, more than your effort, it is the decree of Allah Ta'ala that prevails. So, for the rosy, Allah Ta'ala didn't say you to strive more than average moderation. But for your actions, it is time to strive. Jahidu fi sabilillah, haqqa jihad, strive. Ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati, strive again. Fattaqullaha mastata'tum, as much as you can. So, righteousness, as much as you can. Strive as hard as you can. So, as far as your righteousness is concerned, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given you assurance. But your rosy is giving you assurance that you will get it. Here he asked you to strive for it. And here he says, no, I am giving you assurance that I will give it to you. So when you join the both, what conclusion you arrive at? The conclusion that you arrive at, for the rosy, I don't need to really strive. Yes, the moderation I need to work. But for righteousness and amal, etc., then I need to strive for it. Because he didn't give me an assurance for that, that you're going to get it. That you're going to get this amount of righteousness, you're going to get this amount of deeds. Nowhere the Quran Sharif says that you're going to get it. But what the Quran Sharif definitely says, you must strive for it. Yeah, he never say you for the rosy, you must strive for it. So for this he says, must strive. And this he says, don't strive. No, he doesn't say you don't strive, but he didn't ask you anywhere in the Quran Sharif to strive for it. So what he asked you to strive for, you're not striving. And what he asked you to take it easy, go with moderation, this is not, I need to exert myself. So, are we conforming with the divine plan? One person came to perform his namaz. So, as he meets the imam of the masjid, so he asked the imam sahab, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? So anyway, this person here, that the imam sahab was asked the question, what do you do for a living? So this person had just performed his asr namaz behind the imam, and the imam sahab asked him, what do you do for a living? So he went behind one pillar and he redid his asr namaz, four rakats. So now the imam sahab said, pehle to ek sawal tha, ab do sawal ho gaye. Before I just had one question to ask, now I've got two questions. One is, what do you do for a living? Number two, why do you have to repeat your namaz? So he says, you see, Allah Pak promises, مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Every creature, Allah Ta'ala has given the assurance to provide its sustenance. So when you ask what you're doing for a living, I began to doubt your iman. That do you have iman in Allah Ta'ala's being the Razzaq, Allah Ta'ala being the provider? Do you have the iman? So when I doubted your iman, so I said, I can't be performing namaz behind a person who doesn't believe in the Quran Sharif. So therefore I went and repeated my namaz, because I could have delayed it after some time, you know, after I could have dialogued with you, then I could have repeated my namaz. Lekin maut aur hayat ka kya bharosa? Is there any assurance of life? You're going to live so much. So I don't have the assurance of life. Malakul maut could have come and take my life away. And I would have missed my asr namaz. So before he takes my life away, I said, let me go and do my asr namaz. Thereafter I can dialogue and I can discuss with you. So for this, Allah Ta'ala has taken the guarantee, the assurance that I'm going to provide, I will see to you. But for righteousness, then he says, jahidu. But taqullah mastata'at, as much as you can. One person is striving, but with moderation. Rosy, it's moderation. So someone asks him, but you're not striving, you know, you must progress, you must go forward. So I was just telling one friend of mine that this is the nature of dunya, that if you want to progress, then there will be two sacrifices that you will have to make. You want to keep progressing, 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 then there will be two sacrifices that you have to make. One is that something will go wrong in your life. Somehow or the other, something will, you'll have an inconsistent plan. Either you'll have a fight with your wife, with the staff, you'll be swearing someone, you'll be hurting someone, hurting yourself. Somewhere something is going to go wrong. When you're going to be striving more than what is required. What is average? Just below an average. So one is this, that something is definitely going to go wrong in your life. Whether you show it or you don't show it, but it's going to go wrong in your life. Something is going to happen. Child is not well, wife has got a problem, son-in-law has got a problem. Something or the other is going to get affected. Right? So that is the one thing, one problem that you will have. And number two, the second problem you must be faced with, if you're going a little bit more than what is required, what is desired, then you'll have to make some type of a dini compromise. Now see, you're driving a Corolla, right? Now you want a state-of-the-art car, you want a BM. So won't you have to go to the bank for some financing? Won't you have to make some type of sacrifice, some compromise? Now they didn't say, no, it's alright. However, you're doing musharaka and whatever. But when you add the whole thing up, then it's very, very much similar, identical to interest, usually. One friend was telling me that he had his money deposited in some, like an Islamic bank. But they got an Islamic section, you know. Like an FNB Standard Bank, but now everybody's got an Islamic section. So at the end of the month, or whatever period it was, he received, say, 1,000 rand, marked interest. Right. So he received, now it was an Islamic bank, whatever, and then what he received, what he saw, 1,000 rand marked interest. So not in our past, so no, sorry, it was not interest, it was your profits. Well, how can you, it just changes. And when we, as consumers, how we take it, so no, they're doing it Islamically, just to appease ourselves, you know, they're doing it, they say they're doing it Islamically, I don't need to doubt them, let me go with it. Why? Paisa dekh liya, aur phir aankhe band ho gayi. When you saw that wealth, then your eyes closed. Then you can't go beyond that. You don't want to reason beyond that. If you have doubts, the doubts will only be about pisab. What? Pisab is coming out, or some hawa is coming out. That's the doubts. And now you say, I'm very muttaqi. Why? Because I'm worried about the pisab all the time. Any pisab drops, or the air that is coming out. So I'm very muttaqi about that. But all the other haram that you're doing in the wealth, or the haram things that you're looking at, or the haram gatherings that you're standing in, that you're not concerned. The taqwa is only revolving around that. Convenience taqwa, see. Taqwa, but the taqwa out of convenience. Abu Zuwana used to say, it's a kutte ka taqwa hai. It's the taqwa of a dog. You see, when a dog matures, right, then it raises one leg, then it urinates. Why it raises one leg to urinate? Because it's avoiding the splashes, right? But now, That same dog, when you see it from retrospect, that thing will vomit, it will see the feces there, it will go for that thing. The feces, for its vomit, it will try and lick it up. So, that thing, to take it up, it's not a problem. To swallow that feces, that filth, is not a problem. But a little bit chanta, a little bit of splashes, it's so cautious, you know, that chanta mustn't come on me. The splashes mustn't come on me. But as far as that eating up that vomit, eating up that feces, it doesn't do it, it does it without any hesitation. So this is called kutte ka taqwa. So after a period of time, this is what happens to us. Abu Buzurgan Adin say that the actual thing that is supposed to be acquired from the Buzurgan Adin is what? What is supposed to be acquired? Someone is saying amal, someone is saying whatever. But what is the desired thing to be acquiring? The desired thing to be acquiring from the presence of the Buzurgan Adin, Mashayikh, Ulama, Buzurgan Adin, says, Deen ke saath munasabat. Approximate words of Mu'tamid Sahib Hamdai. Deen ke saath munasabat. Let us translate that Deen ke saath munasabat as an affinity or a strong understanding of Deen. Or a strong understanding of Deen. So that is what that knowledge was supposed to be doing to you. That is what you're supposed to be gaining at the presence of the Mashayikh. So we need to know this, because we need to know the whole itinerary of this road. What is it all aimed at? Someone may come here, come to the company of Buzurg or a Mashayikh. For what reason? Taake tijarat mein tarakki ho jaye. The business must go well. Mustn't have any hurdles in the business. So that is the main concern, right? So if they come to the Mashayikh also, they'll discuss it all this way. Business plans, what I did, I invested in this, I invested in that. Just make dua that things work out. So the primary concern is that business must go well. By the way, they came there. So it is just for the barakat that they came, not for gaining deen, but to gain some type of a material advancement and progress. That's what you came for. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. What you intend, that's what you're going to get. You came for this, then that's what you're going to get. So, at the outset, we need to understand, what do we come here for? Why do we come? And what do we come for? So, to gain that type of deeni understanding, that affinity with deen, that true, that correct understanding of deen. I do not say that a person comes with not the best intention, he won't benefit. He may get humul qawm la yashqa jaleesum. The people that you don't get totally deprived, you'll get something. But then when you're striving, when you're giving, then give your best and take the best. When you're striving, you rather give your best and then receive the best. Why take something that is inferior? Why take something that is lower? Ask and ask for the best. So Hadith also says, ask and ask for Jannatul Firdos. Try and try for the best. See, Quran Sharif says, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Right. So give the good news to my servants. Give the good news to my servants. But which class of my servants? الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Those who listen to the word. Word is Alif Lam. So when it's Alif Lam, then it's for, obviously, there'll be an ahad in that. There'll be some specific thing that the Quran Sharif will be speaking about. So what? فَبَشِّرِ بَعْدَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. They listen to the word of Allah Ta'ala. So it's not a general thing. It's not a general word. What is it? It is the word of Allah Ta'ala. But the Quran Sharif speaks to us in this manner. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. They listen to it, but they listen to it attentively. I remember Hazaji Rahmatullah was giving one majlis in West Street Masjid. So he spoke about the conditions for you to benefit. And what class of people you must just avoid. Don't worry about them. He says, ek to wo jo ziddi ho. The one is that person who is stubborn, right? He's strong in his thinking. He's strong and he's settled in his ways. So I said, don't waste your time with him. Because he's strong in his ways, not prepared to move away. So your striving with him won't bring you to any end. You're not going to get anything. He made up his mind already. So when he made up his mind already, what are you going to get out of the person? Your time and your effort must produce some results. But this person, he has made up his mind. Abu Jahl has made up his mind. Are you going to make any breakthrough with him? Abu Lahab made up his mind. Firaun made up his mind. Whatever you're going to do, Mahma, whenever you're going to come, what's the ayat? Jaitana bima. Whatever you're going to show us, whatever miracle, Mahma jaitana bi ayatin. وَقَالُوا مَهْمَا تَعْتِينَا بِآيَةٍ فَمَا نَحْمُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِينَ. Whatever miracle you're going to show, whatever evidence you're going to show, we're going to reject. فَمَا نَحْمُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِينَ. He made up his mind. When he made up his mind, that is, it's pointless you striving with that person. He's stubborn in his ways. He's obstinate in his thinking. He doesn't want to move. He hasn't come with a clear mind. He's come with a preconceived mind already. So by him sitting by you, he's not going to make any difference. You don't want to benefit him in any way. And you're not going to be benefiting in talking to that person. So in order for your words to reach home, at least the minimum requirement is that his mind must be clear. Mind must be clear, open, not a preconceived mind, open, clear mind. Then he's prepared to accept what you're going to be giving him. But his mind is already preconceived. He's obstinate, he's stubborn in his ways. He says, no, my way or the highway. So, are you going to make any breakthrough with that person? You can't benefit, you can't gain anything with that person. So, Allah also says that, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. In this Quran Sharif, there is a message, right? Sometimes, we want to look in the Quran Sharif, how many zabars there, how many zers there, and how many times the word Allah came in this verse and this surah. But it's not tafsir this. This is just your mental curiosity. Look at the message of Allah Ta'ala. What is Allah Ta'ala conveying to you? I would say, how many noons is this one here? Which surah ended up with meme, for example? This is not what Allah is planning. He's not planning this. That is not his intent. The intention is, what is his message? What is he conveying to you? Now, we talk about these things, everything is smart. Right? See, I know how many surahs end up with meem, and how many surahs will end up with noon. So now, you take it as a great thing. Not an achievement. Someone say, show me that piece of that land on which the rays of the sun touch just once, and therefore, never after that, and never before that. Now, you don't know about it, see, I'm so smart, I know about it. That was the spot that opened up for Musa alayhi salam and closed after that. Now that's not even that. Because that's just pure curiosity. The idea is, what is the message of Allah? What Allah is conveying to you? Like your staff comes into your shop and he says, he knows that you got 200 brands of shoes, for example, right? So he said, that is not really exciting. Why are you taking instructions from me and executing it? That is what you're supposed to be doing. So Allah is asking you the same, by take my instruction, execute it into your life. These things are just mental curiosity, just appeasing your mind. You're just trying to show some type of superiority over the other. Ya fayda. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. So this message, this nasihat, this advice is for who? لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. For a clear heart. His heart is not preconceived, nor is he stubborn, nor is he obstinate in his ways. He's got a clear heart. So when he's got a clear heart, there's no markings on that slate. Now we can put the markings into that heart. But when there's markings already onto that slate, now how are you going to fit in? And if you have to, just have to fit in. So it's all a mixed thing. He's got all his own baggages, and then you have to put something here. Then we haven't got anything out of it. What we need to put is, we need to put our product here. Right. So, Coca-Cola will give you a fridge, provided you only put their product, right? But you put milk, their daily products, you put Kui inside, right? And you put everything else, and you just kept Coca-Cola one, two bottles there. Will they ever appreciate that? No. market and market us. That's what they want. So Allah Pak is saying the same. You market and you market me. Leave all the other. Empty the fridge out. Empty the whole thing out. And then you market for me. I'm giving you this, so you'll market for me. So it's a simple thing, it's not a complicated thing. But we complicated the whole thing. I was reading one of Hazrat's article. He says, the importance of acquiring the right understanding, right information, and the right right understanding and right information, the importance. He says, he builds up the whole case in this manner. He says that to run the life in this world, you need to have money, isn't it? That's how Allah Ta'ala has planned the whole thing, that you will have money. In that wealth, you will see everything coming out, right? You will see clothing, you will see food, you will see your medication, you will see your business, everything. You will see prosperity, you will see where in wealth. Doesn't it happen like that? So you will see everything prospering in wealth, right? From that wealth, you will see everything prospering, right? Whether it's agriculture, whether it is business, whether it's an occupation, whether it's a profession, whether it's a skill. But in everything, you will see your prosperity in wealth, right? Now then for wealth, you will have to have an understanding how to acquire that wealth. Right? That's the second level. Right? At the third level, then you will need to know the do's and the don'ts in the wealth. And if you don't know this, the do's and the don'ts, then you can get caught into some type of legal implications. You're selling guns, right? So they ask you, have you got a license for this? So they charge you, right? Or you're doing a business. Where's your tax returns? Can you show me? They'll close you up. So it's simple. When you are practicing in someone else's land, see, this is not our land. It's another man's land. It's another man's territory. Right? So in order for you to be at peace with that person, you need to know his laws. What are his laws? Income tax, SARS, tax returns. This, I need a license for this. This I could do without a license. So you need to know his whole plan. If you follow and conform to the plan, then you are at peace with the state. You are at peace with the ruler. Because you learned what he wants from you. You're conforming to that. So he is peaceful to you. He's comfortable with you. But you are practicing business, but you don't know what he requires of you. He'll close you down. The moment he knows that you are cheating, you're not fair. You're doing businesses without a license. You're putting up a structure and you don't have a license for it. I mean, Talimuddin, they stopped us. We don't have a proper license, right? We don't have a proper plan in place. So they stop the work, right? Inshallah, will go through. But now you see the problem that it brings up. So you're bypassing the whole law and you want to have your things done. So at any point, they're going to come and stop you. They're going to stop you. Why are you bypassing? And they will tell you, see, we are the authority of the land. It's our land, we will control. Any country will say the same thing, that we are the authority, we are the bosses, listen to us, your business will go right. Whatever you're doing will go right, but you need to see that you're getting license from us. You're getting the go-ahead, you're getting the green light, you're getting the approval from us, then you can move. And you want to bypass that, you want to practice medicine, right? But you don't have a medical certificate, what will you do? They'll charge you. They won't only close you down, they'll charge you, they'll find the place, they'll put you in hospital, in prison. How can you practice? You don't have a proper medical documents. How can you ever practice? So, they will tell you, we are the law, we are the state, we are the rulers, and you need to take the cue from us. Now, this all of us understand. Do we understand that? You don't do anything illegal, don't cut corners, be straight, and have a straight business. But did we understand that the world that we're living in, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, it belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Do we understand that? And if we understand that, do we apply the same concept? Here we needed to know and understand that we don't take a shortcut, we don't rob, we don't cheat, we don't do anything against the law. We are afraid of legal implications, right? But did we take cognizance that this whole land belongs to Allah Ta'ala? When it belongs to Him, then we need to be at peace with Him, mainly and primarily, because He's the provider. The shop is just a front. He's the provider. I mean, do the business without understanding the law of Allah Ta'ala. Is this halal or haram? Is this right or not right? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing or not? Like, I'm supposed to be avoiding this. That's, you know, one day I'll get to know about this. Now I just need to make money now. The masjid and I will get to know about it afterwards. Don't become too pious. That's the type of answer and response you will get. But we didn't realize that it is the land of Allah Ta'ala. It is the territory of Allah Ta'ala. He's got all the right to tell you, do this and avoid this. Do this and avoid this. You won't have the right to ask Allah Ta'ala, لا يسألوا أما يفعلوا وهم يسألون. You can't ask the government, oh, why is there this SARS and taxism? Can you ask? They just pay that 14%, otherwise close down. You know, they won't take the trouble to give you the whole philosophy behind that 14%. You see, now you just give it, and if you don't want to, then close the business down. One of the two. So the importance of knowing what is right, what is not right, what is halal, what is haram, what is iman, what is kufr, what is disbelief, and what is iman. All these things we need to know. We are living in the land of Allah Ta'ala. We are enjoying ourselves in the land of Allah Ta'ala. But we are not recognizing Allah Ta'ala and His law. I ask you, isn't that fair? We are living in His land, but we want to enjoy all the benefits, but we don't want to come under any law. When we become a lawless community, I ask you, is that fair? As far as the legal side of it, we will be covered. We don't want to get any embarrassment. We will be absolutely have everything clear, transparent. But I ask you, in our deen, do we apply the same law? We understand that it's the law of Allah Ta'ala, it's Allah Ta'ala that gave. We were nothing, we didn't have that intelligence, we didn't have that acumen. It was Allah Ta'ala that provided everything. Now when He had provided everything, then before embarking onto anything, do we check up with Allah Ta'ala that is this right or not right? Is this haram or not haram? Is this liked by you or not liked by you? Will I get into some implication in the qabr or not? Do we ask that? Or we just go on to it? And we say, alright, we will discover these things later on in life, and then whatever corrections we need to make, we'll do it later on. Do we have that approach? So this verse of the Quran speaking about Fabashir Ibad. Give good news to my servants. Sometimes we forget that there is an Allah Ta'ala. Really, we forget. This is the biggest crime that we have committed today. We forget the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Someone was giving one story, you know. This is a woman with an abaya, burqa, everything. She came to the cashier. And the cashier was a Muslim Arab woman with her hair uncovered, face uncovered, a little bit scantily dressed, like how a Western woman dressed. So both are French speaking, both are in France now, Paris somewhere. So the cashier, being the Arab woman, she sees this woman with an abaya and an Islamic dress, etc. She sees her. So she reprimands her. The Arab cashier, she's reprimanding the one that is coming to pay. She says, because of you, you know, we're getting a hard time here in this country here. You just leave all this abaya and don't cover your face, you know. Don't do all these things here. Because of you, you want to practice Islam and go to Arabia, Syria, etc., go that side and practice your deen. But now let us live in peace. You know, because of all your strictness and your firmness, now we are getting all the flak for it. Who is saying this? This Arab cashier. Now, the one that came to pay, she sees to the right, she sees to her left, there's nobody around, there's no maids around. So she lifted her abaya, her niqab, you know, she lifted it up. So this one could see her face to face. Blue eyes, blonde hair, pure French woman, right? So this French woman, she says to this Muslim, so-called Muslim woman, she says, and that is something that we all need to take to heart or minds. She says, you know what? That you sold away your deen, you sold away your culture, you sold away your values. Right? And we bought all your values. We bought your deen. We bought your culture. You were not appreciating it, we appreciate it. You were not using it, we are using it. You are abusing it, we are using it correctly. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Don't we think at a moment that this is come in our inheritance, we inherited this, so this is to remain. It is the level of appreciation that Allah Ta'ala wants to see. قَدَرْ كَرْتَي يَا بِقَدْرِ كَرْتَي. Are you appreciative or you disappreciate this? You don't appreciate this, we'll take it away. We'll give it to someone else. You don't appreciate the thing, so why must you give it to you? Why must you take the pains to give it to you? You are appreciating. قَدَرْ كَرْتَي نَي. So, aapko kyun di jaye? Why must you give it to you? So, Hazrat Muhammad is saying, one person that you must not waste your time, is that person who's preconceived, he's stubborn in his ways, he's made up his mind, so don't waste your time. Besides taking all the pains and explaining to him, you're not going to get anything out of him. He's already bent in his ways. And the second person, as he says, that don't waste your time with him, is a person that is, you would say, mentally a little bit challenged, you know, retarded or something like that. Retarded now, you can't understand, you can't reason, you can't see things properly and correctly. So don't waste your time with him. You have to be kind and see that he manages his life correctly. But you won't get much out of the person. Naturally, he's handicapped. He's mentally challenged. He's retarded. So he's not going to grasp the concepts. He's not going to grasp the concept now. You're going to think to yourself, I spoke so much, and advised him, and advised him, and advised him. And he's not just taking. So you're going to feel frustrated. So why frustrate yourself? You can see now, this is his limit. Just speak to him to his limit and carry on. You carry on. So these two classes of people, you're not going to make anything out of them. No headway. The words of the Quran, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرًا لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. So either you have clear mind, clear slate, so that I can put what I want to put. Like I say, it's a container, it's a fridge now. So I can put my product there. But my product must just be one of the products there. So there will be a contamination. Allah doesn't want that. أَنَا أَغْنَى شُرَكَ. I don't want this contamination. I don't want this pollution. It's for me and for me only. For me and for me purely. مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ. Just do it for me and purely for me. I don't want this contamination business. That you can do for someone else. But if you're talking to me, then I want this purity. I don't want any type of contamination, any type of impurity. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَاد. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. They listen to the word. It means the word of Allah Ta'ala. And not just listening, kaan laga karke sunte hai. Ziyadatun fil lafz tadullu ala ziyadatin fil ma'na. When there's an addition from samya to istama'a, then what does it mean? No, they don't just listen to it casually. They listen to it and they listen to it attentively. It's not just listening. But listening attentively. As Ibrahim bin Azam rahmatullah alayhi, he is the king of Afghanistan, sitting upon wealth, you know. Like it was like a trade port in those days, Afghanistan. Ibrahim bin Azam is coming over 1,000 years. He's a contemporary of Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. So if you date back, you see, so he's passed away over 1,000 years, right? So his country is like a trade port. About the wealthiest country in minerals. So everybody's coming, they're flocking there for minerals, etc. So he's seated on his throne. The king, they have a sitting with the courtiers, the ministers, etc. Some part of the day or night they have a sitting. So that they can understand and see what and how the affairs are running. Every department, and they must know every department and how it's running. Alhamdulillah, when this Muslim leaders had ruled, right, you find 99% of the time, there was so much. There was so much of wealth, and there was so much of comfort, so much of justice. In spite of the injustices, some of them, but yet there was general prosperity, there was happiness everywhere. Some of them, like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, perhaps he was unjust, right? But there was general prosperity, there was goodness. And the wealth was so overflowing at the time that the history got it in record that a man would take out sadaqah and zakat and he couldn't find a recipient. Now can you ever smell that zamana? Can you ever smell that zamana where you took out wealth and you don't find a recipient? somehow or the other I'll make myself eligible for zakat. Somehow or the other I'll do it. As Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he received a big amount, 1-2 million to us, and with a note. In India, those days when we were there, so there used to be like thing like a money order, like how you get a check, postal check. So man wrote there that this is interest, and kindly just use it upon the hadith students, the students that are studying hadith. Gave his address, gave his particulars, etc. So Abu Sa'ib Rahmatullah returned the money and told him, see, I hear you got a sheikh, and you relate this whole thing to the sheikh. What I am conveying to you, you relate to the sheikh, to your sheikh. And if it is that the sheikh corrects me or corrects you, then let me know also that I am wrong or you are wrong, one of the two. I am wrong maybe or you are wrong, but bring it to my attention that this is the error that he found in your behavior. So Abu Sa'ib returned the money. And with a note, you know, that money that was not suitable for you, for your wife, for your children, for your friends, that you gave it to the mehman of the Bishasam. This is how you consider them. That was not suitable for you, not right for you. You went and dumped it on two delas. This is the esteem and the respect that you offer them. Anyway, the postman got to know that this money was returned. So the postman comes to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah and he says, "Arre, us paise ka kya ho gaya? What happened to that money?" I returned it because it was interest. "Arre, kisi aur ko dete." He said, "I've given it to me. He said, give it to someone else. Mujhe ko de dete." "So give it to me at least." He said, "Kisi ka kaam ban jata." Now you see the greed, the avarice. The wealth has just come. However it comes, halal, haram, interest, financing, whichever way, but that thing has just come. Then you want to know why this ulta sida thing is happening in our families, in our homes. We don't see the deen environment, we don't see that ambiance, we don't see that love, we don't see that muhabbat. As you do, you will earn, you will do that and you will see the type of results. That's the world. You will do the wrong and you will see that type of reaction in your own home, you will find it. So you're talking about Ibrahim al-Azam rahmatullahi alayhi. And Ibrahim al-Azam rahmatullahi alayhi is seated on his throne, and he's got a sitting, like I say, so the, all the courtiers, the ministers, etc. And they had to have that, you know, to see now that every department is working correctly, get a detailed report from him, from this one here, from that one. I can't just sit on in a position of a king without knowing, all right, how the departments are working. We like the position, but we don't like the duties that come with it. So you take on the position, and also after taking up the position, understand the duties that come. Many youngsters, they say, "No, you get married, I'll get married, get married. But my father is not allowing me to get married." So I ask those students, or youngsters, doesn't have to be students all the time, sometimes it's youngsters, that you are living off your father or are you independent? So, "No, I'm living off my father's kindness," right? So if you're living off your father's kindness, then you must conform to his principles. Perhaps he's delaying the whole thing because you don't know and you don't understand the responsibilities that are attached to marriage. It's not just about fulfilling your lust. You want to bring someone else's daughter into your house, then do you have the sense of responsibility that ye kisi aur ki ladki hai? It's another person's daughter. I assume responsibility for her comfort, for her peace of mind, for expenses, etc. Do you assume, or do you know how to assume responsibilities? If you haven't learned this, then you're going to hurt someone else's child. So learn the responsibility that goes with marriage, and then look at who, the father won't, not going to stop you. But he understands that you didn't understand responsibility and you're going to get into marriage. So you thought marriage is just a bunch of roses, you just enjoy yourself, and that's the end of it. But you don't know that it comes with a responsibility. So a position, he's the king, so it comes with a sense of responsibility. Learn the responsibility that goes with it. Right? That's why the hadith says that when there's responsibility, trust and responsibility, honesty, all gets eroded, then just wait for Qiyamah. That nobody is concerned about that responsibility, of that office, of that department, of that position, he's no more concerned. His concern is, what can I make out of it? If I'm a principal of a madrasa, what can I make out of it? If I'm the head of a department, what can I make out of it? What's there for me? I'm not worried about the responsibilities that go with it. That's not my concern. Yes, what can I make out of it? That's my concern. So these Islamic rulers, they may have been worldly minded, but they were very conscious about the responsibilities. Though they were worldly class, but the responsibilities that came with it. Imagine Shah Jahan, what a very religious person, what a very deeni person, right? A dhobi washerman, he was going through, and accidentally he spotted the queen. Uske upar ghayat ghalib a gayi. The queen felt very embarrassed. He saw me face on. I was on top, and he raised his head, and our eyes met. How could he do such a thing? And she just took out a gun and she shot. She shot him dead. So this widow, this Dhobi's wife, the widow, she came complaining to Shah Jahan. Okay, this is what your wife has done to my husband. But now look at the fair play. You know, they may have been worldly class of people, but the fair play, the understanding that they had, although I won't say that they were deeni class of people, but the fair play they had, the justice, the fair play, that honesty. So immediately, without any hesitation, without any delay, he loads a gun and he gives it to her. He said, what you do is like my wife has made you a widow, then you make me a widow. Whatever his reasoning was, but now look at the fair play. Like my wife has made you a widow, so I'm giving you a gun, now you make me a widow. See the fair play, the understanding, that honesty. Really, this is what the world wants to see today. We're talking about Islam, and Islam must rise and shine and all that. But do we have that honesty? Do we have that sense of responsibility? Do we have the truth within us? Do we have that sense, you know, that I've got this position? Am I taking good care of it or not? You get a handful of this class. You just get a handful of this class. Majority, they're not conscious about the responsibility that is attached. One friend of mine tells me, specialist doctor, he says, no, my instructor, you know, I won't forget him. And really, I marvel at his honesty. So when he asked him, why do you marvel at his honesty? He says, you know what? I was still practicing as a specialist, and I had to pass through him. It was my habit, if I have to pass, then I would make salam to him, and then continue reminiscing the past, the good that he has done for me. At least stop there for a moment, make salam to him, and then go through. So I was going through his room in the hospital, and I saw him busy with a person, operating a person. So I see them all perplexed. So I ask him, what happened to him? So now, we operated the person, we cut him, but we can't find the stone. Because the x-ray show that he's definitely got a stone in the kidney, but we can't find it. So this learner specialist, he says to the doctor, to his instructor, okay, you know what? You sure you cut the right side? For the moment they checked up the x-ray, and they checked the patient, say, hey, you cut the wrong side. Man. They patched him out quickly, and they cut the right side, detected the stone, pulled it out. MashaAllah. That was over. It took him 2-3 days perhaps to recuperate. When he's relaxed now, he's recuperated well. So now this instructor of his, of the specialist, he comes up to him and tells him, you know what? We made a mistake with you. We're supposed to be cutting you on this end, we cut you on the wrong end. But we patched up, we did everything right. But I'm showing you your legal rights. You have got a right to sue me, to charge me, you've got a right. And this is how you will go if you want to sue me for the mistake that I have committed. This is the procedure that you will adopt. And I won't be offended, because this is your right. This is your haq. And I have encroached on your haq. When I've encroached on your haq, you've got the right to sue me, to charge me, to do whatever you need to do. And this is the procedure. See the level of honesty. Although the patient said, no, no, Dr. Saab, you know, I had this pain with me, lingering pain for a couple of good years. And this operation of yours has just got me right. So forget all the rest. Mistake is a mistake, just forget it. But look at the level of honesty, the truth. This is what the world wants to see. That we are talking about Islam, we're talking about the truth, we're talking about honesty, etc. Are we truthful to ourselves, to our clientele, in our businesses, to our staff? Are we truthful to them? Are we truthful? When we want our things to happen, it's a busy period, we don't mind swearing the person, delaying the creditor, whatever, everything we will do. Now that money must come. That wealth must come, as though that wealth became the God. For that we'll do anything, go to any extent. So that aspect of honesty, truth, kindness, where does it go to? It must start off from our homes, start off at the beginning. From the scratch it must start off. So people and people in position, and how must they behave? One Arab, his nephew had killed his son. Some fight, whatever, some argument they had, and that thing built up. So the nephew killed the son. Now he got to know about it, that my son has been killed by my nephew. And he knows his rights, that وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٌ النَّفْسُ بِالنَّفْسِ, right? You've got a right to take punishments of equality. He is killed, so he can be killed. So anyway, they presented to the father, okay, this is what happened, your nephew has killed your son. You've got the right to exercise your right, punishment of equality. So he takes a breath, deep breath, and then he says, I know that's my right, but what's the good, you know? My left hand has amputated my right hand. Right? Is that the sensible thing for me to amputate my left hand as well? My left hand has amputated my right hand. Is it the sensible thing for me to amputate my left hand? Not a sensible thing. Like I need my son, I need my nephew as well for advice, for cooperating with me, being with me. I need him as well. So like I need to be good with my son, then I need to be good with my nephew as well. And then he says for a moment, and he thinks, and he says, you know what, all right, but this deceased mother, that's my wife, she won't be happy with this, you know. She won't be happy with this arrangement. All right, what you do? Don't tell anything. The blood money for this is 100 camels. So just go to my stables and pull out 100 camels and just give it to her. At least it will appease her. So see how he's covered the whole thing. But the level of honesty, kindness, fair play, truth, everything is in them. They had the wealth, but with the honesty, with the truth, with that fair play, you know, what was good for me was good for you. I will not do something that will be hurtful to you. On the contrary, you get this dishonesty as well. One person comes to me, and today he's a billionaire, right? He's a billionaire today. And he tells me, you know how I gained this prosperity? If you feel interested, you can tell me. But I don't need to know this. I don't need to know it, but if you bring me some type of happiness, you can tell me. He says, at a prime spot, one property was going, right? So my grandfather wanted to bid for it. But before he could bid for it, he knew my grandfather. Right? This person came to my grandfather, and he's asking whether I should go and bid for this thing. It's in a good spot. You know? So my grandfather just discouraged him. Don't go and buy that thing. It's not the right thing to do. In the meanwhile, my grandfather knew that that was the right property. It will turn a gold mine, turn into a gold mine. Prime spot, that price is right. In the quiet, he went behind and he bought the thing. And then he really turned as a gold mine. And made for him. So this is how he got the prosperity. Now he's happy about his dishonesty. His grandfather's dishonesty. And he's happy about the thing. He's proud about the thing. But then I trace the whole family. By Tajwid Labak, make me mark. When I see this type of dishonesty, then I see where it started and what it is like. I see in nearly every decade, every 10 years, and there were problems. There were problems, fights, disputes. You know, it's so much of problems, so much. You don't want that money. For the problems that are attached to it, you don't want that money. But you see that dishonesty and what it results in. The honesty and what it brings fair play, happiness, the public begins to like you. Honest, you're truthful. So the Quran speaks very highly about this, the Hadith speaks about it. But the first thing that will go away from this ummah is amanat. You look into an entire crowd of people, entire community, you'll assign two honest people, and the rest of it is just dishonesty. Allah Ta'ala grant us that honesty, the truth, and the true color of Islam, the true understanding of deen.